Madam Clerk, the lead vote getter in the last four tallies. Democrats are united behind a speaker who will work to codify the right to seek an abortion into law. Like all of us, Hakeem has spoken about consistently the disastrous Dobbs decision. He has spoken time and time again that it is well past time to codify Roe v. Wade into law, and he knows that young women should not grow up in a world with fewer rights than their parents and grandparents.
California Congressman Pete Aguilar, the House Democratic Caucus Chair, nominating New York's Hakeem Jeffries for Speaker of the House earlier today. Jeffries has no shot to become Speaker in a Republican-controlled House, but Aguilar's floor speech shows that trying to codify the right to an abortion is a priority for Democrats. Yesterday, the Food and Drug Administration made it easier for people to access abortions. Patients will now be able to get the drug mifepristone, which induces abortion, from pharmacies at big chains like CVS and Walgreens. Abortion pills are the most common way to terminate a pregnancy in the U.S. More than half of all abortions are done this way. You'll need a prescription, and it will not be available in states that currently ban abortion. Although, if you are in one of those states, the U.S. Postal Service can legally deliver abortion drugs there, according to a new pronouncement from the Department of Justice. We're going to talk about what these two moves mean for abortion access 6 months after the Supreme Court struck down Roe with Alice Miranda Olstein. She covers health care on Capitol Hill for Politico. Welcome back.
Thanks so much.
All right. So this drug, mifepristone, has been available online by mail through telemedicine. And this was a pandemic era rule that the Biden administration made permanent in 2021, actually. So what does this new announcement from the FDA do? What does it change?
Yeah, so it opens up a whole other option for people to be able to access these drugs with a prescription, like you said. So if they don't want to or can't receive them by mail for whatever reason, or they just prefer to go to their local pharmacy, they are able to do so. Of course, this also imposes a new certification requirement on pharmacies, and it's not yet clear which pharmacies will be willing to go through that certification process. Already, anti-abortion advocacy groups have pledged to pressure and protest at pharmacies if they decide to go ahead and agree to distribute these pills. So I think this is absolutely a big fight we're going to see going forward.
Interesting. And of course, as I said earlier, like a CVS in a state that bans abortion entirely would not be able to offer the drug.
That's right. And not just in those states. There are additional states that don't ban abortion entirely or nearly entirely, but they specifically ban this kind of distribution of abortion pills. They say that despite what the federal government says, the state law requires patients to get the pills only directly from a doctor and not through any other means. And so it's even more states where this won't be possible.
Right. But then there is this new rule or this new pronouncement from the Department of Justice that the Postal Service can deliver this drug to those states. So how would that work?
That's right. So right now, there are these international organizations that are mailing abortion pills. They're doing a telemedicine visit and mailing abortion pills to people in the United States in any state, no matter what bans are in place. And because they're headquartered overseas, they can't really go after them legally in this way. So the Justice Department memo yesterday was just it was an interpretation of current law saying under current law, we don't believe you can specifically charge someone under a specific federal law, the Comstock Act, for distributing these pills by mail. That doesn't mean that some local prosecutor somewhere might try to bring charges against someone for mailing abortion pills through some other means. But this is aiming to give people, you know, some form of feeling of security when going about this.
And this Comstock rule, that was aimed at so-called vice, right? That
exactly.
The Postal Service couldn't, like you couldn't mail pornography.
Exactly. And so, you know, this was one area that some anti-abortion advocates and state and local officials had been exploring because they know that abortion pills are being used all across the country to circumvent state bans. And they are trying to come up with whatever way they can to block that from happening. And this was one of several areas they were exploring. And so the federal government is sort of laying down a marker and saying, nah, not this way. Try again. Try a different way.
Right. So, but what about UPS or FedEx, which is not a federal carrier?
So this applies across the board, not just to USPS.
Oh, okay. All right. So, you know, interestingly, some of these states that have severely restricted access to abortion have said that they might be able to prosecute people who send drugs through the mail. And so would they be able to, would they be thwarted at doing that with this new rule laid out by the Justice Department?
Right. So I think that this would make it very hard to bring those charges under the Comstock Act specifically. But, you know, I think we're in uncharted legal territory right now, and we're just going to see tons of different kinds of lawsuits going forward. You know, for instance, I wrote a story a few weeks ago about anti-abortion groups looking to use environmental laws because of abortion drugs, you know, being used at home and people expelling the drug and the fetus into the wastewater. And so they're just trying to come up with whatever way they can to go after this and to block the distribution of the pills. And, you know, there's just going to be a lot of new and, you know, creative legal battles going forward for all of us to keep track of.
So that environmental attempt, that's basically saying you can't dispose of medical waste in this way. Is that
that's right? That's right. And so, you know, I'm not endorsing this. I'm not saying it will be successful, but this is one method that these groups are attempting in order to get some judge or state official somewhere to put an injunction on the distribution of the pills.
Interesting. The FDA also announced recently that it would change the packaging labels for Plan B, that's the emergency contraception, that basically would clarify that it doesn't cause abortion. Why did it do that, the FDA?
So we have just seen, and this was happening before the fall of Roe versus Wade, we've seen just a lot of people, including elected officials, very high up people, really conflating emergency contraception, which is Plan B, and abortion. And so this is an attempt to say it is not the same. We even saw this in a previous Supreme Court case, the Hobby Lobby case, which was around employer coverage of contraception in the medical plans. And in that, they were also conflating things like Plan B, even things like IUDs, which are not emergency contraception, they're just contraception. But these groups were saying, you know, we consider them to be an abortifacient, even though that's not supported by medical evidence. And so this is just yet another attempt to try to delineate that. But, you know, you have people's religious and moral beliefs sort of butting up against what law and medicine are saying.
Basically, they're saying, these religious organizations are saying, that this is a fertilized egg that is not being allowed to be implanted, and therefore it's an abortion.
That's right. So it's about the implantation versus, you know, an abortion of once it's already been implanted.
Right. Okay. So taken in all of this, what does this tell you about how the Biden administration is taking on a post-Roe environment?
Yeah. So advocacy groups have been really frustrated with the Biden administration. They thought the pace of action after the Supreme Court ruling in June was way too slow and too cautious. And they've been clamoring for a lot more action and a lot more action on all of these different fronts, seeing what all of these different federal agencies can do through lawmaking. Because, you know, even in the last Congress, when Democrats controlled the House, Senate and White House, they just didn't have the votes to get major abortion protections through. And, you know, even less now with a divided Congress. Who knows what's going to happen in the House? But we know there's going to be a divided Congress, and there will not be the votes for, you know, sweeping federal legislation on abortion. And so they really want, these groups really want the administration to look to federal rulemaking and various levers to do whatever they can. Also, you know, putting out legal memos and cases. And so the groups are pleased by these actions. And, you know, even with the FDA action specifically, you know, it's really gotten a mixed reception. It's been interesting. They've said, you know, this opens up a lot more access, but, you know, it really doesn't do anything for people in these states with bans, and it really sort of leaves them high and dry. And there are people who were frustrated that the FDA didn't go further and completely drop the certification requirement. They argue that there isn't medical evidence to support it, that pharmacies are allowed to distribute drugs with a much worse safety record without these kinds of restrictions. And so this is just going to be, you know, an ongoing battle where, you know, these little incremental steps are both praised and criticized as not being enough.
All right. Alice Miranda Olstein, she covers healthcare for Politico. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here.